on, and so will Nan. And Jen, we all know, is North Carolina. Nan is located in Virginia. So please find us on Facebook and Google Plus as Cougar Chat, and on Twitter at Cougar Chat Radio. Email Jennifer if you want to be a sponsor. Her email address would be jennifer@cougarchatradio.com. See, there's this Cougar Chat thing going on. Go to the website, kickerchatradio.com, to learn more about us and see upcoming shows and buy merchandise like our fabulous new Cougar Bait t-shirt. And that's mainly for the men. And if you're a musician, contact us to feature your music. Don't forget, we're now mobile. Download our free Cougar Chat Radio app at kickerchatradio.com to keep up with the news and so forth. Speaking of the shows coming up, April 29th, the Vegas show, Rock of Ages star, and Lord help me with his name, make sure I don't screw it up, Mark Shanock. Mark went from Canadian Hockey League to 3 years on Broadway, Lion King, to now headline a Vegas show, Rock of Ages, at the Venetian, I think that's what it is. May 6, 2013, we have Zombies. You remember the Zombies, right, Patrick? Patrick?
Well, I think the Zombies were probably a little bit before my time, but sure that the song, It's the Time of the Season for Loving, those Zombies, correct?
Well, I was thinking more of the Walking Dead Zombies.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the band The Zombies.
No.
The Zombies, so.
Okay. Well, May 6th, we have Zombies. We talk about Zombies. Author Doug discusses his second installment in his book series. And we have our dear friend Michael Koski. He is from the popular show The Walking Dead. So make sure you come and chit-chat with us. We also just got this. Jude Kessler, The John Lennon Story. She is working on a 9-book series on John Lennon. The first 2 books are out, and the third, which covers the birth of Beatlemania, is due in November of this year. She spent 28 years researching his story and can talk with confidence about his life from 1940 to 1964. So,
cool.
Jen just hooked that one up. So that's going to be later in May. So, exciting.
Very cool.
All right. I am going to go ahead and play some commercials. And in that timeline, I'm going to try and get the other ladies back on with us. So, hang tight, and we'll be right back. Hey, Jen. Do you know where we can get some great t-shirts?
We should use Dark Side Ink. They're a unique apparel company that strives to give the customer the most diversified choices in design. We could get some rockin' t-shirts from them. All merchandise and original artwork is done in-house, so we need to give them a call at 508-676-6606 or go to darksideinc.com. And until next time, remember, everyone has a dark side. Hey, New Jersey, need work done on your BMW or other fine car? Montclair Motorworks in Montclair, New Jersey offers fast, reliable service with competitive pricing. With a BMW tech on site, they also have a state inspection station. Let Montclair Motorworks help you. Call them today at 973-744-9839. That's 973-744-9839.
Hey, welcome back to Cougar Chat. Everybody here? Jen?
Hello.
Nan?
Hello.
Oh, so sorry about that. I don't know. It's been so long since I've done this part of it. I guess I should have been practicing. You know?
You just massacred Mark's name in the Venetian.
I know.
It's okay.
I had the colossal brain fart thinking you were talking about the band The Zombies.
That's okay. Oh, that's a different band.
Right?
Go ahead and sing it.
Who is that? The Cranberries? I forget who that even is.
The Cranberries.
The Cranberries.
The Raspberries.
I don't know if I've ever heard of the Cranberries.
The Cranberries wasn't
90s, early 90s.
Early 90s, yeah. Yeah, they sang the song, what was it, Linger? Wasn't there their one hit?
Yeah,
One Hit Wonder.
I think I missed that too, Michelle. I must have been hanging out with you.
Yeah, I think so. I'm telling you.
I thought you were joking when you said there was a band named the Cranberries.
Oh, my God. Well, Nan, never mind. You were probably high for those 5 years.
I wasn't.
Actually, I think I was having babies at that point.
Oh, that's true, too.
I am taking the Fifth Amendment.
420, what?
Yeah, that was just like the other day. All right.
I thought it was hilarious. Who posted 421 National Drug Test Day?
Oh, that's funny.
That was hysterical.
Sort of.
Well, good for Denver, though. You know, it's a milestone.
Yeah.
Do you know Washington State has making so much money they don't even know what to do with it?
Good. See, new project, new tax, new money.
Yeah, right. The federal government called all the banks and told them not to allow them to put any money into the banks there because they considered it drug dealer money and that if the banks did, they would be cooperating with drug dealers and shut down.
Oh, geez. Welcome to McCartney Multimedia. If you know your party's extension, you need to get directly or just stay on the line and somebody will be with you shortly.
We have that in foreign girl.
Please enter the extension you wish to call. To use the directory, press pound.
Did you want?
To leave a message, press star.
What if I,
To reach an operator, press...
Yeah, the number I called. Sorry.
Extension 221. Yeah.
Okay. I called...
What the hell?
Okay, then.
All right, so...
What are you talking about?
I'm going to go into Skype, guys. You guys go ahead and why don't you tell us about your old weekend?
Okay. Baseball. All weekend baseball. That's it for me.
I was on a heating pad all weekend because I hurt my back.
You hurt your back. That's
and
right.
Then I got poison ivy in the woods and slept on my hand that was covered with poison ivy, so now it's all over my hand and my face.
Oh, that's no fun.
This is really not.
Hard.
Next.
There we go.
While we're trying to get our guest on, I'll go ahead and intro. You want me to go ahead and intro?
Sure thing, honey.
Tonight we welcome the Tea Lady, Angie McCartney. If you don't know her by that title, you'll know her as Paul McCartney's stepmom. Angie was Paul's stepmother when the Beatles made it big in the 60s. She's the only living Beatles stepmom and an avid supporter of the Linda McCartney Breast Cancer Foundation. Angie's life has always revolved around tea, from surviving World War II to celebrating with friends like John Lennon over yet another chart-topping hit. You can visit her Organic Teas website at MrsMcCartneysTeas.com. Most of the proceeds from selling her tea will go to the Linda McCartney Foundation. She runs McCartney Multimedia with her daughter Ruth, where they offer creative consulting, and you can hear them.
One moment.
Design, programming, market solutions.
Good evening. Hi.
And much more.
Hi there.
Angie?
Yes. We heard. We've been listening for 17 minutes, and I heard you tried to dial in but not get the right extension. So here we are.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Good. Hold on. This is Ruth. I will give you to Angie.
Ruth, thank you.
Can I get bury myself?
Hello.
Hello, Angie.
Hi there. Good evening.
Oh, you sound so cute.
Oh, thank you.
We've had some technical problems, Angie. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. It happens. Yeah.
It does happen. More often than not on this channel.
We were all listening to Jen's bio about you.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
Jen, were you done?
I think she is.
No, but that's okay.
Okay, she's gone quiet. Come on, Jen.
My phone just fell in. Ding, and out.
Get over yourself. Come on. I'm an older person. You know, it's 9 o'clock. I need my rest. I go to sleep soon.
It's 6 o'clock there.
It's 6 o'clock here, yeah. It's 6:18, actually. Yeah.
One of the things Jen was talking about in the bio was that you were saying how tea has always been a part of your life, even as far as in the world. I thought that was so interesting. Could you tell us more about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, growing up in England when I was a kid, we always sat around the kitchen table with a big pot of tea, and it's gone on from there through all the various phases of my life, all the places I've lived and almost died sometimes, but always... A pot of tea is the great get-together thing, you know?
And do you grow your own teas, or do you
have... No. I don't grow them. They're imported from China and India and all sorts of places, and we pick them up from... we have a gentleman in Orange County who gets them off the ships and packs them into bags and brings them up to me, and then when people order tea, I ship it out. So, oh, no, I don't grow it. You don't grow tea in California. You grow all kinds of things like oranges and lemons and avocados, but not tea.
Well,
come
you
on.
Could grow. I didn't know.
Come on, girls.
She'd be a busy lady.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't I just? Yes.
Because before you came on, we were talking about 420 and how now marijuana is legal in some states. And so, you know, you could grow that, too. You know, but.
Well, I could, I suppose. That would open up a whole new vista for me, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
So how many varieties do you have? This is Jen.
I have four. I have green tea, I have Earl Grey, an English breakfast, and rooibos, which is a red South African tea.
I like rooibos.
Yeah.
So which one's your favorite? This is Michelle.
Well, my favorite is English breakfast, but then, you know, what do you expect? I'm English,
right,
for God's sake.
Well, that's kind of what we thought, but, you know, we can't just assume. So
I know. I know.
Because that's actually what I drink here at the house. I get the, okay, I don't make it like you do, but
hello?
I do get the English tea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. First thing in the morning when I'm waking up, put the kettle on, check email, or maybe check email and put the kettle on.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, Always start the day with a cup of tea.
I'm the same way with espresso. I have to have my lattes. I do enjoy tea, but lattes...
Well, coffee is very much an American thing, isn't it? But tea is catching up with you, though. You have to watch yourself.
Definitely.
Look over your shoulder. We're catching up.
Good. Now, one thing I did not get to in your bio or your intro was that you're in your 80s and feisty as ever, and you still plan on taking over the world. That was one of your quotes.
Well, I'm working on it.
And two of your goals are to visit Japan and finish your second book.
That's right. I've started my
that?
Second book. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, when I finished the first one, afterwards I thought of lots of things. Oh, goodness me, I didn't mention this. Oh, I forgot that.
Right.
So I've started on book two, but the first one took me almost 83 years to finish. So we hope that don't take another 83 to finish book two.
I can relate.
I don't think you can relate to 83 years of it.
No, probably not.
No.
Yeah. I know, people are getting to live older. Like I said, when Jennifer asked me to be on the show, I said, cougar? And that's Michelle, my sell-by date to be on the cougar show.
Well, I can see your picture right here in front of me, And you are so cute. You are absolutely adorable.
Oh.
Oh. So I would have to say
get off. It's not my week for women. Forget about it.
Come on. It's almost the weekend. It's okay.
Oh, well, okay then. Maybe I'll reconsider. Can we talk?
Like, after the show.
Now, enough about me. What do you think about me?
That's cute. But seriously, I mean, you're just like a little hot cougar yourself.
Oh, no, I don't think so. It's all smoke and mirrors, you know. It's cameras and lighting, action and camera. Well, not so much action now, but, you know.
Speaking of, do you have dating advice for the ladies listening?
Don't do it.
Good.
Forget it. Don't do it. Oh, God, another husband is like another load of laundry.
Yo!
Patrick, I don't hear you saying anything.
Hello, Patrick. I'm sorry, Patrick, if I offend you.
I'm outnumbered here, so I'm
Oh, I know you are. Read the Fifth Amendment, exactly. That's a huge
right.
boy.
He's happily married right now, so it's okay.
I am happy.
Oh, that's fine. Good. Well, greetings to Mrs. Patrick, and long may you reign.
Marley is great. They're pretty. They're still newlyweds, pretty much.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They got married under the water.
They did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're both certified scuba divers, and we were married on November 11th, 2011, at 11:11 a.m. So we were rocking the 11. We at 11:11:11 at 11:11 a.m. It was we got in an underwater ceremony here in the Florida Keys in Key Largo, and it was just a wonderful experience.
Wow, that's memorable, isn't it, Patrick? Good for you.
I think,
funnily enough, every day. My daughter and I always seem to look at the clock in the morning, and it's 11:11.
11. Yeah.
I don't know what that is. A few of our friends say the same thing.
Huh. It's interesting. The number 11 is really kind of significant to Marley and me. We see it everywhere. It just like you, Angie, we look at the clock.
Yeah.
11:11. Or 11:11. We look on the street and we're passing a mile marker number 11. Just the number pops up all the time. Yeah, so it just seemed all too appropriate to get married on 11-11-11.
Sure.
And another thing, you cannot forget your anniversary.
Exactly.
Oh, that's very...
That's what Marley just said. Gosh.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah. Easy to remember.
Yeah. So with your tea, Angie, I know this is going to be a really dumb question, but if you only knew me, you would understand.
there are no dumb questions, kiddo. Only dumb answers.
Okay, how about silly? Do you use sugar in your tea?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Brown sugar.
Brown.
Okay. Mm. And
Andy,
the milk in last.
Being British, do you also celebrate the daily tea time in the afternoon?
Oh yeah, 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock sharp.
Very good.
Yeah.
Is that
that originated in the days when kids and people worked in factories and very early in the morning, and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they'd give them a cup of tea, so the caffeine had just given that boost to get up and go and work for a few more hours.
Oh, now, I did not know that. That's very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Noel Coward, the English cabaret artist, used to sing a song about everything stops for tea, and it was like 4 o'clock, yeah.
Right.
It's a very British song about everything stops for tea at 4 o'clock.
Is that what
very
they refer to as high tea?
Well, no, high tea is when you have it with cucumber sandwiches and scones and maybe strawberries and cream, clotted cream. That's the whole deal, you know, a whole meal.
Oh.
At noon?
Oh.
High noon?
No, 4 o'clock.
Oh, four. It is four. Okay.
4 o'clock, yeah. Hmm. And actually, tomorrow here in Los Angeles is the beginning of what we call Brit Week. They have this celebration that happens. Tomorrow's the Queen's birthday, so it opens tomorrow. And it's called Brit Week, but it's now Brit Month, really. Nigel Lithgow started it a few years ago. And he said, why don't we celebrate all things British in California? And because there's a lot of things, you know, from culture and interesting education and all sorts of things, architecture, fashion, all manner of things. So this was begun, and it opens on the third Tuesday in every April, and we start tomorrow. Actually, we go to the British consulate, to the residence of the consul, who is a lovely Scottish lady called Dame Barbara Hay, and she entertains a lot of people from, Jaguar cars and, English teas and English actresses and actors and writers and screenwriters and all sorts of celebrities. It's a great place to go to sort of rub shoulders with all sorts of people you want to name drop about the next day. Say, oh, yes, I was talking to Helen Mirren last night. You know, come away and name drop about it, which is lovely, because we do like to name drop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, when you emailed me, you were on your way to. You're like, I've got to go. I'm on my way to, and I can't remember who it was. Party you're going to?
I think it was Mary Willard, Fred Willard. You know,
Fred Willard.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Because I remember Jen telling me, I'm like, oh, I know who that. Yeah.
Oh, yes, very funny man, yeah.
And there's a picture of you with Gene Simmons as well, I believe, on your
website. Yes, you've seen that, have you? Oh, you've been doing your research, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a couple other gentlemen that I saw your picture with, and they look so familiar, and I just can't pull a name to them.
Oh, I wonder who. Maybe John Cleese from Monty Python?
Yeah. I think that's the one. And the other one,
website,
I've got one with
Richard
Branson somewhere on my website.
Yeah.
What's he from?
Richard Branson?
Richard Branson, what's he from? Have you heard of Virgin?
Virgin, yes.
Richard Branson. Yeah. Where's he from? He's from everywhere.
Yeah.
He's going
I would
space.
Love to meet
going
him one
to the
day.
Moon.
You know, I'm so sheltered. You have no clue.
I've lived a sheltered life. Air raid shelters, bus shelters, you name it.
You just happen to know all the...
Well, you know, we meet up in business-related things in L.A.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so it was interesting.
So are you busy, like, on it every day? Like,
yeah, I work about 18 hours every day.
Wow.
When you're old, you know, past your cougar shelf life, you're waking up about 3 a.m. to make a little trip to the plumbing department, and then I think, oh, I'll just check email, and then up for the day.
Right.
But that's a good thing about getting old. One is it's better than the alternative about not getting old. And there's just so much to find every day. You know, Google, newsletters, all the news feeds and so on. The RSS feeds.
It's amazing on the Internet, the just having the complete, you know, just all this information available where I'm old enough to remember going into the library and having to look stuff up. And, you know, we actually had an encyclopedia in my household.
Oh, yes.
Was,
do you remember we used to buy encyclopedias?
Yes.
That's something.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
yep.
Now everything is literally is just a few keystrokes away.
That's right.
Really
touch of a button is there. It's amazing. I know. It's wonderful. I love it.
And I think it's much easier to promote yourself.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
absolutely,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I just wish, though, that my daughter in school had to actually do a project using the library and books.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not being able to use the internet.
The new
because
generation.
They're spoiled.
I know.
They don't know what they have available to them. It really is sad.
I'll tell you one thing also that concerns me is the kids are not using handwriting skills.
Right.
Everything's on little devices and their thumbs are very busy tweeting.
Yes.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
But, you know, every Saturday morning I make a habit. I make a pot of tea and I sit down and I write letters and little thank you cards and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm an old fart. It's far too right on the radio. Yeah, because I'm an old fart.
We are not regulated by any rules or FCC
guidelines.
Oh, jolly
good. So I can say crap as well, can I?
You can say whatever you like.
You just did.
As long as you're not farting dust, you're okay.
Oh, no. Not at all.
I know exactly what you're saying, Angie. My my children, they're in school. They don't teach them handwriting anymore.
Don't they really? Oh, my goodness.
No kidding.
I believe that.
My wife spelled one of my youngest son's name in cursive, and he didn't know what it said.
Really?
They don't teach them handwriting in school anymore.
Good
and
heavens,
I think that's atrocious.
That. Yeah, I had my stepson was here, and he won his hunting license. And granted, he was like around 10 or something.
Yeah.
And he actually had to sign his hunting license, and he goes, I don't know how to do a cursive G. And it's like, what? And at that time, his mom had him doing homeschool.
Yeah.
So everything was on computer.
Yes,
and it literally, he had him used cursive, and he totally forgot how to write his own name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was sad. We definitely shouldn't lose anything.
I'm a great
proponent of... You know, everything cyber, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. I can't recall the last time I actually hand wrote a letter, to be perfectly honest. It's been
a long time. Do it next
time.
Saturday. Make a pot of tea and write a letter to someone.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll write you a letter, Angie.
Good. Okay. That's a good boy.
Good boy. Good boy.
That's a good boy. Yes.
So, Angie, McCartney Media. Oh, Patrick, go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Didn't mean to jump on you.
McCartney Media. You run that with Ruth, your daughter.
With Ruth, my daughter, and Martin, my son-in-law, yes.
Martin.
We run McCartney.com is our main website. And, yeah, we do websites and databasing and all kinds of things for a variety of clients, from musicians to actors and actresses and film commissions and government departments and
dentists. I was looking on your website, and you're quite diverse, the company.
Yes, we are.
Quite a lot of things.
Yes.
Good for you. Very good.
If only they'd pay their bills, that would be lovely.
All right.
But never mind. Everybody's in the same boat at the moment, I think, aren't they?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all struggling, but we've got to keep on keeping on and keep cheerful.
True.
My favorite song is Monty Python's Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Yes, I saw that, and you said that you have it in your will for that to be sung.
I have to sing it at my memorial. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, if you didn't have a sense of humor, you'd be totally lost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you're all trying to find a way now to get rid of me, aren't you? I know, to say, okay.
Oh, my gosh, now.
No way. No, I was going to say Patrick. Patrick is our diehard Beatle fan, which is why we had him join us.
Absolutely.
And I know he's been busy compiling and researching questions for you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, go on, Patrick.
Well, I am a huge Beatles fan, and Paul, of course, is my favorite out of all four of them.
Yeah.
And it's a little surreal for me to be speaking with somebody who actually knew them. Did you know all four of them? I know, obviously,
Paul.
Oh,
yes, of course.
With John.
Yeah.
You know Ringo and George as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Wow.
I married
Paul's
father
in
November
of
1964. I've been with all four of them at a couple of occasions, but they used to individually come to the house at different times, you know? Yeah.
Now,
but to me, you know, they were just like Paul's mates. It's like his schoolmates or his workmates. And I mean, I fully appreciate their talent and their artistry, but at home, one-on-one, it was like a pot of tea or, you know, another bit of laundry in the laundromat, in the machine, and I used to say another pair of underpants to wash.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Of course, they were just regular chefs.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
You know,
they
got extraordinarily lucky and were extraordinarily talented.
That's right. Yes, a combination of all of that. Absolutely, yeah.
John, don't you talk back to me. I've washed your underwear.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Angie,
I won't fold your knickers if you don't behave yourself, yeah.
Exactly.
Angie, are you still in contact with Paul?
Not a great deal, because he's all over the world, you know.
Sure.
We always seem to, like last Friday, we were at an event at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and then I found out later when I got home that he was at the Four Seasons with Nancy and Mary and her husband. We were like 3 miles apart, but
oh,
we always seem to be all on the move, and it just never quite happens, you know.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I think he was going to Coachella last weekend because James was playing, his son.
Sure.
Mm. So you know what a life it's like, always on the move, all over the place.
He really is. He really is. He didn't tour for quite some time there in the 1980s, and I had the opportunity. I think I saw him the Flowers in the Dirt tour for the first time in 1990 in Chicago, and it was just amazing to be in the midst of rock and roll royalty like that.
Yes, I know. It's a great atmosphere. Yeah. It's wonderful. And he's right.
Angie,
you know,
obviously.
He wants to keep working.
Yeah.
He loves it, and why not, you know? Yeah.
Sure.
I think
obviously, they changed the world, the Beatles. It's, you know, they're...
Yeah, they didn't expect to. They didn't think they were going to. But, you know, when they first came to America, it was just when America had lost John Kennedy.
Right.
And, you know, people were stunned, and they just needed some something lighthearted, and these boys were so silly and so irreverent and didn't take themselves seriously and just made people laugh.
Yeah.
And
that's why I think
it made such an impact. No?
They really did charm everybody when they when they showed up here on these
yes.
shores. And
oh,
you're right, we're
yes.
definitely, America was in a need of something to
lighten
the mood. That's
right. Oh, definitely. So a diversion, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Angie, when was it obvious, when did it first become apparent to you that, I mean, obviously you married Jim in 1964 when Beatlemania was really taking off.
Yes.
When did it occur to you that, wow, these guys are living legends. I mean, they're going to be talking about the Beatles 500 years from now.
I couldn't really put a date on that. I don't know, because, you know, when you begin to be on the inside of something, you just grow with it, and it's just,
sure.
you know, part of your circle of friends and family and people and the parents of the boys. We were all friends. And
yeah.
Frida Kelly, who was the fan club secretary, she has just launched a great documentary called Good Old Frida, which has just appeared at South by Southwest and various other film festivals. And today, they've just got news that Magnolia Films is going to actually launch it as a movie in theaters later on this year. So Frida and I mean, I used to get sacks and sacks of mail every day. And I'd sort them out and into countries and into shoeboxes with Ruth to help me. And I'd take them through the Mersey Tunnel to Frida and dump them on her because she was the secretary. And, you know, it just sort of grew. And it was something you were in the middle of, like your job is now. And you don't really think about it as a worldwide entity.
Sure.
It just sort of grows around you.
Well,
you've gone quiet. You're bored now.
Did you and Jim? I'm sorry.
I say you're bored now. You've gone quiet.
No.
No, not bored at all. Fascinating. Did you and Jim have to contend with paparazzi looming around all the time?
No. There wasn't a lot of paparazzi at that stage. There were fans, of course, that used to be outside the house and they used to steal the gravel off the driveway.
Oh, my God.
Every now and again, we'd have to get the gardening people in the village to come with a load of gravel and repave the driveway because kids would take handfuls of little pebbles off the drive to take
wow.
away.
Wow.
But now they've had it, it's concrete now. They've had it paved, poured concrete put on it now at the house in Haslell. Yeah.
Sure.
So that's put paid to that little hobby.
But
what
I reckon now
is...
Paul deals with extreme paparazzi nowadays.
Oh, yes. I know.
Yeah.
Poor guy. I mean...
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's what you have to take. It goes with the territory.
I know, but still,
yeah.
I mean, there's a limit.
Yeah, oh, I know there is. I quite agree, but I suppose, yeah. It's something you have to expect when you get to this stage, and the world has changed.
My
it's all about
right,
media,
you know,
and
me alone,
yeah.
you know.
You know, yeah.
I guess nobody caught that one. All right.
What's one of the more surprising things about the Beatles that people may not know? What would you think is something out there that people might not be aware of about Paul or the rest of the Beatles?
I would think when they're at home and they put their carpet slippers on, their bedroom slippers, and they're just ordinary people that want, you know, tea and toast or beans on toast or something very ordinary.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's not all the sort of high life celebrity private planes and limousines stuff.
Sure.
No, that's the special occasions. I mean, yeah, they all like to be with their kids and their loved ones and their pets and so on. Just be ordinary.
Now, I do have to ask, when they first came to America, you know,
mm-hmm.
and some people probably don't even realize, I mean, everybody knows the Beatles for the music, da-da-da-da-da. I teach cosmetology.
Oh, yeah.
So I talk about the Beatles, like, every 4 months when I go through hairstyling and stuff like that, I bring up the Beatles because of their hairstyle.
Yes.
Because their hairstyle was a big icon in the hair industry.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was. So I was just wondering, do you recall which one of the boys may have had that first haircut and where he got it from?
Well, I think, yeah, Astrid Kircher, who lived with Stuart Sutcliffe, who was the first, one of the first Beatles, and when they went to Germany, Stuart moved out of the band and stayed with Astrid, and he wanted to concentrate on his art rather than being a musician. And Astrid cut their hair. She did the first Beatle haircut for all of them in Germany, in Hamburg.
Stuart did.
Mm. Oh, yeah, Astrid, yeah, she sort of decided to, you know, try and style them a little, because up to then they were a bit scruffy and undisciplined.
When they first went out there. Their hairstyle, I mean, some people refer to it as the bow haircut.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the mop top haircut. But if you, well, you know, for those who know that Justin Bieber kid,
oh yeah,
he had that kind of. Well, he did have. He came out, not come out, but he was recognized for his haircut, which was kind of like that. Just
it was originally, wasn't it?
Very
and
similar.
Changed it. Yeah,
it was just updated. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it was the Beatles.
Yeah, that's right. He used to do that ooh thing with his hair.
Yeah, yeah. Can you do that again, please?
Ooh. Oh, come on.
It was kind of a stark contrast, because on the one hand they had this, which was at the time incredibly long hair for a man to have, mm-hmm. and then on stage they had these very neatly trimmed suits. So it really was very contrasting, and it definitely opened eyes.
Yeah, they had a tailor, Brian Epstein, when he first came on the scene, got them with this tailor called Dougie Millings, and Dougie made them these collarless suits with the binding around them, you know.
Right.
And, yeah. And, of course, they progressed through different phases of their career to different modes of dress, from the Indian gear and, you know, the Nehru jackets and so on, until the Sergeant Pepper costumes that they wore, and then at the end when they did their final concert on the roof at Abbey Road, they had all the sort of, you know, oh, come on, let's get this over with kind of couture.
Right.
Yeah, they developed through various phases. And, I mean, art and the Beatles is a whole different thing from their music. You know, their styles, the food trends that they set, and the clothing and the haircuts and the cars they drove. There were so many different things that people followed. It's very interesting.
Angie, what is your favorite song?
My favorite song is, probably it's either Yesterday or The Long and Winding Road.
Okay. Mm. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, they're sort of neck and neck in my, you know, my choice. Yeah.
This question came up last week that somebody made a remark about it and asked me to give my two cents on it. The whole Paul is dead thing that was going around. And did you know, was this something that they kind of did on the sly, or was this just completely coincidental?
No, indeed not. I can remember sitting at home at Rembrandt and the phone rang. And it was journalists from, like, the first call, then the next call, you know, if Paul is dead. It was a load of nonsense. It just was one of those things that developed, and it just went viral, and it was crazy. Paul wasn't dead, and he still isn't. And he's not going to be for a long, long time, we hope.
Of course, unless somebody learned how to clone back in the mid-1960s,
You know what conspiracy theories are all. It's all a load of nonsense, yeah. Yeah.
But it's nothing that they even concocted themselves.
No, not at all.
The fans just picked up these little clues and they ran with it.
Yeah, I think something on one of the records where people said if you played it backwards, it said Paul is dead or something.
Yeah,
Oh, come along, 4:20, light up.
Right.
Yeah,
the whole Abbey Road album cover, you know, Paul is holding a cigarette and he's barefoot, you know, which is, you know, supposedly a reference to, you know, that corpses many times are buried without shoes on. And, and the Volkswagen Beetle that's pulled up on the curb.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things. You know, Paul just decided to take his shoes off and walk across the road. But, I mean,
that's funny.
How many stories and how many books have been written about these things, you know?
Crazy.
But I tell you what, my darlings, I'm loving this, but I've got a friend here from Switzerland who has just arrived, and he wants to do a client meeting and do all sorts of design stuff, and he's just flown in.
Okay.
I think a 16-hour flight.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
and he's,
thank you so much for taking the time to talk.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
You need to attend
to
business.
Fun.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, it was a pleasure, Andy.
Thank you
so
mine
much.
Too. Thanks.
Hey, make sure to call me on the weekend.
I will. Okay, we'll catch up. Yeah.
Angie, thank you so much.
Oh, Patrick, you're a brave man for coming in amongst all these girls. Cougars and retired
an
cougars.
It's an honor to speak with you.
Oh, bye. Not at all. It's my pleasure. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye,
bye,
Angie.
Bye.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Aw.
She's so sweet.
She is.
Well, that was cool.
Woman.
That was cool. I wanted to ask her about how did Paul handle fame? You know, overnight success, pretty much.
Sure.
And
yeah. Well,
did she have to deal with any of the groupies? I want to. I might email her.
Yeah. Well,
I'm glad you brought up the conspiracy thing. I'm glad you brought up that
circuit for years. What's that?
Go on.
I'm sorry. We're talking over each other here.
I think there must be a delay. I'm sorry. Patrick, what were you saying?
I was saying, I lost my train of thought now. You know, the overnight success thing.
Overnight success, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they a lot of people think that was the case for them, but they toured the club circuit. They worked their butts off for many years before, you know, they had fame. And when they did make it, it happened very, very quickly, very rapidly. But it was by no means, you know, overnight. They certainly paid their dues and busted their butts when they were in their playing in Hamburg, Germany, for many years. I think they played something like 3 shows every day, and for very little money. It can appear on the surface that they were overnight success, but they it had been many, many years of grueling hard work and just being in the right place at the right time. But,
well,
it probably
looks that way to us because they did all that grueling work overseas, and so when they came here, they were, you know, boom.
Yeah, nobody knew who they were.
Yeah,
they had already been established in Britain and in Germany for many years, when they did come over here, it was like a meteor. It just exploded, and all of a sudden, who are these guys? And they were everywhere.
Right.
Well, I hate that we had to let her go a few minutes early. We did have a few more questions for her, but maybe we can have her back on. Make sure you visit her organic tea website at MrsMcCartneyTeas.com. And, of course, she works with her daughter Ruth at McCartney Media, so make sure you look them up. They offer creative consulting, design, programming, marketing solutions, music and film production, and much more. So she's a busy lady. 3 a.m.,
yeah.
Gosh. If she's in California, that's 6 a.m. for me. I'm still not awake on the East Coast. Nope.
Well, I do have a question for anyone who is listening, the audience. I have posted on Cougar Chat, Facebook, and Twitter for a free T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone's interested in receiving a free T-shirt, should we have them call or post on Facebook? I think post on Facebook.
Sure, whichever.
Okay. Just answer the question, who was responsible for the Beatles' haircut.
Oh.
Ah.
Wow,
so,
nice.
Who's been listening?
Yes.
Paying attention.
So, if you know who created the Beatles' haircut, please hit us up on Facebook and put it up on our wall.
Yep.
And we'll get from there. So, good luck.
Good luck. So, for the next couple weeks, before we came on, Michelle told you who was coming up on the schedule. Next week we have Vegas show Rock of Ages star Mark Shinnock, Mark went from Canadian Hockey League to 3 years on Broadway with The Lion King and is now headlining the Vegas show Rock of Ages at the Venetian. Has everyone seen the Tom Cruise version of Rock of Ages?
I have not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that out loud?
I knew Anne was going to do that. I knew it. I'm not a Tom Cruise fan, so.
I'm not either, but I went into it with like, yeah, whatever, but it was actually funny.
But does he really sing?
He does okay.
Smushed?
Yeah.
Did he get killed? Because that would be funny. I'm sorry.
Was that out loud?
Yeah, that would be funny. Oh, you're bad, Dan.
Oh, and on May. Moving on May 6th, we have our part two of Zombies. Author Doug Roberts discusses his second installment in his Ragnarok Rising book series. And our friend Michael Koski from the widely popular show The Walking Dead come on to chit-chat with us about zombies.
And he's a sweetheart. Michael is.
Michael is, yeah.
Yeah, he's very.
And on May 20th, Jude Kessler, Michelle told you at the beginning of the show, Jude Kessler's coming on, the John Lennon story. She's working on a 9-book series on John Lennon. Her first 2 books are out, and the third, which covers the birth of Beatlemania, is due November of this year. She spent 28 years, that's a long time, researching his story and can talk with confidence about his life from 1940 to 1964.
I wonder if that has anything to do with Hey Jude.
Good question.
I know the story behind that song.
Oh, good.
She seems 28 years is a long time to research.
That is a long time. It really is.
Makes you wonder if there's a little. I don't know.
You know, I would love to get like Ono Yoko or
Ono Yoko.
I wanted to say Uno, but I know it's not Uno.
Uno. Uno Yoko.
Oh, no. No,
Yoko Ono.
Thank you. It would be nice to have her on, but I probably wouldn't understand her. Not like if y'all can understand me anyway, so.
She's American enough. Be all right.
She still lives in the apartment that they shared when he was killed.
Sad.
Yeah, she's still there. Ugh. I don't know if I could have. I don't know. But we ought to mention to the listeners that tonight's show was a staff pick from Blog Talk.
Blog Talk, yes.
Yeah. So
our show will be available on the homepage of Blog Talk for the next 24 hours.
Until they hear it. And then...
you did great, Michelle. Don't be rough on yourself. Come on. You held on the board just fine.
I'm so used to using a different board, I should say. There's a board that we used to use along with Blog Talk, and now we're just like, we cut that part out and just went straight with Blog Talk, and I'm so used to doing it a different way. You know, it's just...
Sure.
So thanks for the patience.
Thank you so much. I just didn't feel like manning it tonight, so I'm like, hey, Michelle, you want to take over? You want to drive?
Yeah.
Well, be sure
what
to
a
find
us. Road.
Okay. Be sure to find us on Facebook at Cougar Chat, Google+ Cougar Chat, Twitter, Cougar Chat Radio. And if you want to be a sponsor, we do have a few sponsors. You can email me at jennifer@cougarchatradio.com. And if you are a musician or a band, be sure to contact me to feature your music on our shows. And you can download our free app at cougarchatradio.conduitapps.com. And my daughter is peeking through in my office door, and I'm not sure why. So that's cougarchatradio.conduitapps.com.
They could just go
download
our free app.
They want to talk to you.
Goodbye. Go away.
I think it's easier just to go to cougarchatradio.com and click it from there. That's just my thought.
My daughter's talking to me. You guys talk. Hold on.
Yeah, okay. Well, we have a minute left. So, we want to thank everybody for joining us. Patrick, sensational again. Thank you. And
thank you so much for having me.
This is Patrick Burns. He used to be a host on Haunted Evidence, which was on...
Haunting.
What did I say?
Haunted.
Haunting Evidence, which was on True TV, which is now Court TV, which is not Court TV anymore. So.
No, it's so, True TV, and they show strange television shows.
Reality shows now, yeah.
Do they ever re-air it?
Every now and then, don't they?
They do.
I'm sorry, say again?
It was such a good show.
I asked if they ever re-aired it.
It was such a good show.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. I think it was, too. I think it was, it definitely had a higher purpose than the other paranormal shows that are out there. You know, we were actively trying to solve crimes, and we had a good run for about 3 years, but when Court TV rebranded itself as True TV, they went in a completely different direction. They got away from the true crime stories, which, of course, were the staple of Court TV for many, many years, and went after this 18 to 35-year-old male fix. So you've got, like, these crazy shows on there now, like Lizard Lick Towing.
Patrick, hang on just a second, guys. We've got about 5 seconds. Just want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good week.
Night.
Bye. Much love.